This is your first meeting, so obviously it starts a bit differently. First of all, thanks all of you for be willing to attend. You're our full seventh person. That's why we built that person. That's why we made this committee seven, because we thought, heck, I put seven chairs up there. We needed to fill it. But this is a great group. And it's also probably, this and the Planning Commission are our two committees that just really have a lot of things to do and a lot of responsibility, I think. But before we get into it, we're going to end up with a president here, and then they would be doing all of this, but lack of one. But we're going to establish a quorum. Well, we're all here. So, Patty, if you make note of everyone, we have a quorum. And then maybe, Tom, if you want to lead us in a pledge or something.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first thing is these little mics. And we will talk about, we may do the table type thing where you sit around a table for a committee meeting, but this was our first one and that's really your guys' call. So today, you need to talk into the mic. If you see your red button, if you push it down, it locks down. The blue button is if you just got one or two words you don't want to, you just hold it down. If you don't hit either, unfortunately, it doesn't actually pick up and it doesn't go on the recorder. Now, we have our backup a little way in front of you there. But this goes out here. We don't have a bunch of hearing impaired people sitting out there today because Stu hears everything. So, I know he can hear fine, but anyway, that's what this is about. This goes into our recorder. Just so that you know, it's also your video recorded. There's three cameras, and those run on, they're like on a 14-20-day cycle. Yeah. It just records all the time. It's kind of like security. The ultimate plan could be that not that we have this committee, but people that want to sit at home could watch you in action. So you'd have to start dressing properly, and, you know, it could be like home videos. However, that system isn't in place, so you don't need to worry. This is not going anywhere as far as the video. It's just up there. But it does record you right now. So if you do something, you know, no one will ever see it, but still it's there. So with that, we need to elect our president. And there was no order in this. We just put out nameplates. So first, though, let's have introductions. That might help you decide who you want to be president and vice president. And then we'll include everyone out here. So I'm Rick Allen, and I was the city manager. Now I'm going to help with public works, so they're calling me the interim public works director. They had to find a title for me or something. So I'll be working with you guys for a while, probably through the July, as sewer and water, and then the city manager will take over. And he's in a meeting, or he'll be in here eventually. So that's me.
Just push the right.
Yeah, hit your blue unless you get a long speech.
Oh. I'm Roy Hester.
Why don't you tell them maybe where you live, what if you've ever had any experience in public works, or just kind of your background.
Well, I don't live in the city limits. I live on Lowell Way. That's off of Day Road, off of Deaton. It's way out there. And my previous experience, I was public works supervisor for the city of Canby for 30 years. And so that's why I felt like I could maybe do some help here, and I got some different ideas and whatever you folks would like to know.
Great. That sounded good, and now we want to nominate. I'm Bill Saunders. I'm a commissioner with the water districts and a director on the sewer district. I live on Mack Court.
In the city.
In the city, yes.
My name is Arlo Furtig, and I live on Twin Drive. I'm not in the city. I worked for Lane County Public Works for 22 years. I'm kind of like Roy. I think I've got something I can bring to the table to help things out. I've been a resident here in Lapine for 5 years, and I've been a property owner over here since 1979.
Tom Weller. I'm on the Lapine Chamber. I live on Wild River Way, so I'm outside of the city limits. I worked for Springfield Utility Board for 18 years, and I've worked for Mid-State Electric for the last 7 years, and that's all I have to offer.
I'm Ed Carpenter. I do live in the city over on Heath Drive. I've been up here for the last 3 years, property owner for the last 5, going on 6 years. No previous experience in city politics or anything like that. That's all I have to offer.
I'm Linda Johnston. I live on Preble Way inside the city limits. I have a lifetime of community service, marketing and sales background, 7 years as on the chamber board, and various committees I've worked on and for the city of Lapine.
And I might add, she's waited a year and a half for this committee to get started.
Douglas Ward, my wife and I have been here for 15 years. We live on Pine Drive here in the city. Since the city incorporated, I've been 2 years on the budget committee. I was an elected city councilor for 2 years, and I'm currently the chair of the planning commission.
Okay, so that, go ahead, George, why don't we get the folks?
So, George Holt, county engineer with the Deschutes County Road Department, Richard asked me to be here at the meeting to answer any questions, or just kind of give you a background of county information on roads.
Don Greiner, city councilor. Stu Martinez, city councilor. And I want to thank you guys for taking on this job.
I'm Scott Perkins. I worked for the water in the sewer district.
How many years?
I've been here 7 and a half.
And Scott's kind of the manager over there at the plant, and we'll work closely with Scott, and you know, as we transition into the city, so he'll kind of be the head operator, foreman. What all titles we have not figured out, so we'll be careful with titles. But anyway, he's going to take my job. So, all right. So, election of officers. And that's up to you guys. So, it's somebody that you know feels comfortable, you know, running a meeting, and, you know, or is okay doing that. You can and learn as you go a little bit, and it can usually be here. If you're going to head south for 3 months, probably not. You know, whatever. So it's always hard when you're all looking at each other, and some of you maybe would like to do it, and you don't know each other. So, you know, is there a couple or anyone that would like to chair it? You don't have any extra power. You don't get to, no. And we promise not to overthrow you in a coup. Maybe.
In my personal opinion, I think the chairman should live within the city limits, and I didn't get your name clear down there in the end.
I'm Doug Ward, but I would ask that I not be nominated. Being the chair of the planning commission, I think one chair at a time is plenty enough for me, to tell you the truth. But thank you anyway.
Okay. Yeah, well, we could have Linda. We, you know, she got three of you on each side of you, so that she can manage you all. She lives in the city.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
I think you've been volunteering.
Are you okay with that, Linda?
Say yes.
I could try, but they have to live in the city limits.
No.
But getting that's not. It's what he. I mean, it's obviously something you could consider. It's, you know. No,
that's not where my strengths are.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know Arlo is chair of the Parks Board, you know, so whoever, we've got two that, you know, and I think Doug's right, you're chairing the Planning Commission, you know, it's nice to have different bodies involved, so, you know.
How about Ed?
I have the least amount of experience, so
I mean,
I'm a newcomer here, so
you can learn.
No, that's okay.
Roy?
No, thank you.
Well, I live so far out, I don't know if I'd be a good chairman.
Ed?
What does that have to do with being a good chairman?
You got a new email.
Huh?
You got an email account.
Yes, I do.
You did? You didn't have one, did you?
No, I do now.
I know. You had to, see? I'm glad you did. Your wife sent me a thing and said, oh, he's got a new email.
Yeah.
That's great, because that helps a bunch to communicate and send stuff out. If someone wants to make a motion, or
would you? How about you?
Well, I'm the chair of the park district. I feel my plate's pretty full right there.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I can't remember your name.
Tom Weller.
Tom Weller. How about Tom Weller?
In the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
There you go.
You said you're in the chair.
Well, I second it.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
There might be an issue, though, if I need to be at all the city council meetings, just because I have other obligations on Wednesday nights.
You would not. That's not a requirement. You know, the staff will take recommendations, and different people can come, so that's not a part of it.
I will help fill in for any meetings that he can attend, and I would like to nominate Tom Weller to be the chairperson for the Public Works.
All right.
No, I second that.
All right, Doug seconded that. Is there any other nominations? We want to make sure that all the nominations are on the floor. No anyone left out. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Looks like that was unanimous. So, Tom, you pick up. Now you get to run this and do the vice president. So, we get to take nominations for vice president and see what we come up with.
Yes. Do we have any nominations for vice president?
I do think that Linda would be excellent in that position, and I would so nominate her for vice president.
I'll second that.
Any other nominations?
No.
Okay, close the nominations, and all in favor of Linda?
Aye.
Gotcha.
So we're now on to the role of the committee.
Yeah, you would go to, we won't spend much time on that because we want to get into the meat and potatoes, but it's kind of nice to know why you're here. And if you would see the resolution that was formed, that's probably the best idea of what it is. The theory was we had a utilities committee, and then when I got here, I thought, you know, really, utilities is a narrow focus, and really, public works is broad. It's everything that involves infrastructure, and you name it, from sidewalks to street trees to, you know, if you had parks, it could be, you get the drift of that. So I said, let's get rid of this utilities committee and then focus broader. And the other thing is, since I've been here 20 months, roads, you know, the city doesn't provide law enforcement directly, the county does, and we don't provide fire directly, because obviously the fire district does. So I think that when you look at the focus of the city, it's going to be public works, planning, building, codes, just because of the nature of the beast here. It's either going to be involved, someone wants to build something, develop something, put up a sign, can you make a duplex, can you not put up apartments, where do they go, that type of stuff, and where do you build roads, who maintains roads, who fixes potholes, where do you build sidewalks, etc. So, you have a planning commission, and I think this. So this was my thought to broaden this and make it something that will really help. The council at a meeting does not have time to go through more of the detail because your council meetings go on for hours. They have a shorter attention span, and they tend to be more political. Your idea is not be political, be more of a thinker. Look at evidence and things and think through how things ought to be. Let these three, the mayor came in, let them worry about the politics. And sometimes they will be opposite. Sometimes they'll collide. That doesn't mean they're right or wrong or you're right or wrong, but ultimately, because politics fits in it, but hopefully here we stay away from that. It's more of what should we do. The other thing is understanding money and how do we do all of this. So this was formed, and most of you feel kind of a niche. We tried to make this to where we had someone that owned a business, someone that lived. We wanted at least three or four in the city, so there was a majority. We have that. Four of you live in the city, so technically a quorum or a majority. The one person from the Planning Commission, so you all fit kind of roles. You live in Huntington Meadows.
Yes.
And that's one of our newer subdivisions where there's a lot of future issues and potential issues. Doug happens to live in Cable, which is our gravel road subdivision. Lots of future issues there, sewer, water, and roads. And then a lot of you, all the rest of you, always say, you live off Day Road. When I leave Lapine, I talk to people, I said, where does everyone live? I said, well, they just live off Day Road.
Yeah.
When I walk up to someone, I'll say, oh, you must live off Day Road. And they say, well, how did you know? So I've picked up a few local stuff here. So that's kind of, you know, what our role is. And it will grow, and we'll learn it as we go. Since we don't know. We're a baby. We're just learning. But a lot of you guys have this experience. We're planning on meeting monthly. We're not going to get into twice a month stuff. And right now, we thought 10 o'clock worked for the most of you. So it doesn't take away your evenings, as long as that continues to work. But that's up to you as a group. And you know, if that starts to cause problems. One of the things I think I have to do, and I have to relook at this, we have to stagger terms at some point. So I think we'll maybe just draw straws. In other words, you try to rotate to where I think they're 3-year terms, but I'll have to go back and look at it. Does it say two-year terms? So what we want to do is take 4 of you, have a 1-year term, and then 4 of you have a 2-year term, and so then a year from now, there's that, so that we end up with a, you know. So it takes us a little bit to get into cycle. And just, if you end up with a 1-year term, it's not because we only want you for a year. We don't know that yet. In 6 months, if we give you a 1-year term, then you'll know. So we'll do it. We'll do it ahead of time. Does that sound fair to everyone?
Yes.
Okay. And I think we'll just sit and do it. I mean, I'll just go alphabetically or something, I think, so that there's no... So do you guys feel comfortable why we're here at this point, kind of? Any comments from any of you? Maybe, did any of you have a public works committee in the communities that you worked in? Or did the council have one, or did the staff, senior staff?
In Canby, no, we had no public works committee. We just basically did everything in-house. And when I left there, they were starting to create a public works community committee. But I don't know if they've ever got that finished.
We had some advisory boards for various sections of Lane County, but the county commissioners pretty much regulated, or not regulated, but governed what went on within the county on the public works.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, did you want to say anything just to welcome this group? And our illustrious former mayor said a couple words before he got here.
No more than just, I can't tell you how significant a step this is for the city, and I'm extremely proud of each one of you for stepping up and taking on this task. Some of the most important things that will happen in the next couple of years will happen right through this committee, and I'm glad to see the experiences here, and I'm glad to see that the city is participating in the way of city residents. And of course, we all know that Lapine is a greater community, and I sent an email this morning about the fact that you may not be in the city, but everything that happens in the city really affects those that live outside the city. So again, thank you very much for stepping up. I think I really think you'll find it satisfying and enjoyable. You'll have a great staff to work with, and again, thank you very much. You've got a great partner in the county, and we have the county with us today, and all of my experiences, especially in the last few years, gosh, what a partner. So you'll have that helping the city along as you go forward. Thank you very much.
Okay, so with that, do you want to go on down to start?
On down to road maintenance.
Is that okay with everyone? And then, like I say, this is, and then be thinking of things we want for future meetings. But the reason, George, if you want to start moving up towards here, I picked this because I get this call. You know, if I look at all the calls I get, since I've been here, I've had 2 or 3 dog complaints, and I get neighbor nuisance complaints, which will really fall more over to planning. That's the person who's got 6 horses on an acre and they throw things over the fence, or a guy's got 5 barking dogs, 2 birds. And I asked the guy, I said, well, what do I do with the birds? I said, well, he says they're out in the tree and they make a lot of noise. I said, well, I don't think we regulate birds in trees, but I'm not sure. Well, he said they come out of the house because they're house birds. They come out and sit. You get all of this stuff. So that type of things are my the common. But then the other area is, why don't you plow my road? I have a pothole. Why aren't you grading it? Why don't you grade my street? My neighbor's street gets graded. We have cracks in the street. They're gonna, Don will say, you know, he's in Crescent Creek. And he'll say, the roads are starting to go to heck. And he's got some cracks. Now, his going to heck, that's a pretty smooth, nice road with a couple, three cracks. Road's going to heck, you can see them that are really going to heck. And then you get into Huntington Meadows and you find out, well, whose streets are those? When you find out that Heath and the one in front of there, they're county roads, as I discovered. Then you go one street over in the same subdivision, it switches to the city, because it is when we incorporated, or when that subdivision was approved, that subdivision started under the county. The county approved the first two phases, and so then they're county roads. But so today we thought, we need a basic understanding of roads. Who owns them? Why are they where they are? And you guys that have worked in this know this discussion comes up all the time. And because we're a new city, the city never has assumed any paved roads from the county. So that's kind of stuff we want to talk about. Most cities they do, but in this economic climate with our low budget, since I've been here, I've said, thanks for bearing gifts. We'll let you keep it. We'll be nice. But the public doesn't understand it, and we don't understand it. So anyway, we got George, and we got the maps, and maybe George, you could start. And then maybe, because it's hard for these people, we start at one end of town, up north, and I can blow it up and work our way down through. But go from there. More of a discussion here. Ask questions, I think.
For the record, my name is George Holden, the county engineer with the road department. I guess I could start out with an explanation of, you know, why there are county roads within the city of Lapine. And actually, all the roads, you know, before Lapine was incorporated, they were all county roads. When the city incorporated, they stayed as county maintained roads, but technically the city has jurisdiction over the right of way.
Did you press the red button?
I thought I did.
It is.
Is it?
I can hear it.
Yeah, maybe a little closer.
Say that again, what you just said.
The roads, and there's a map, I think, it's there. There are roads within the city of Lapine.
Let's use the bigger one, it's not the snowplow one.
Yeah, and they are county-maintained roads. We maintain the surface of those roads, but the right-of-ways are within the city of Lapine, so the city of Lapine now has jurisdiction within those right-of-ways. So I think this came up with the street lighting with Mid-State, where the county really wasn't involved in that. That was more the city of Lapine, because they have jurisdiction over the right-of-way. We kind of ran into the same situation with the city of Bend when they, you know, the city of Bend, you had your city limits and then you had the urban growth boundary. Within that urban growth boundary, there were county-maintained roads and there were city-maintained roads. What happened is when the city annexed those roads in, there was an agreement made where the county turned all those roads over to the city of Bend, but then there was also an agreement that I think we paid them, it was $550,000 a year for 4 years, and then I think the number went down for 2 years until it sunsetted, then they have the roads. We don't have any more jurisdiction over those roads at all. So right now, you know, until some sort of an agreement is made between the city of Lapine and Deschutes County, the roads that are shown as county roads will stay under county maintenance, is my understanding. There were some roads that they were constructed after the city was formed, so technically the county couldn't go in and establish those as county roads because it's now within the city limits. Most of our road information, you know, we're controlled by the Oregon Revised Statutes, the ORSs. The county, the big one I always look at is ORS 368. That covers county roads, and that really addresses the issue of why isn't my road maintained by the county versus roads that are maintained by the county. And by Oregon state statute, we can't spend our dedicated road funds on a road that isn't up to county standard and has been established by the county commissioners. I do have, this is a handout that I brought. Oh, go ahead.
Does everyone have one of those?
And this is what I had, oh,
pass them out.
I had brought, this is part of the presentation that I had brought to that South County Collaborative meeting they had here a couple weeks ago. And we've got a lot of roads that are, you know, a good one is Whittier and Wolf, that we're getting a lot of calls on, and you've got to maintain our road, you've got to come in and maintain our road. And technically, we can't by state statute unless the Board of County Commissioners would sign an order authorizing us to spend our dedicated road funds. When I say dedicated road funds, those funds are forest receipts and what we call motor vehicle revenue, which is state gas tax, weight mile fees, and vehicle registration. Those are our dedicated funds, and by state law, we can only spend those on established county roads. We don't get a penny of property tax, and that's the one thing I'll hear from a lot of people is, I'm paying property tax, you need to come out and fix my road. We don't get any property tax dollars. So that's outside the city limits. I'm not sure what, I kind of looked through the ORSs, and there's quite a few of them that apply to city streets. So if I was in the city, if I was an engineer in the city, that's what I would be looking at, is how they may dictate how you can spend your funding, how you prioritize maintenance, things like that. The roads, I know the roads that we've dealt with before you became the city, Cagle, Schedule, all those roads. I think it was Schedule and Cagle actually were in line for what we call local improvement district to get paved and brought up to county standard. And they actually got voted down by the residents. Whittier and Wolf, they tried to do an LID, they got voted down by the residents. But in looking at Whittier, they actually have a road district in place there. And I don't know if you guys are all familiar with the road district, basically it's a boundary within, they can tax those people. They haven't been taxing people. So those are ways that, you know, a road that's not up to county standard, can't be maintained by the county, can come up with a funding-based system to get money to maintain their roads, is through a road district. It's a process, but basically, if you say if Cagle, Schedule, all those roads got together, created a road district, then they would get a board of directors, and then they could levy a tax on the per lot for the maintenance of those roads. So I guess I'll open it up to any questions that you have.
Do you, LARs, local access roads, now we dealt with those in Lane County.
Yep.
Do those people, can they contract to the county, for example, or if we have some of those in the city, can they contract to you to have some maintenance done?
Normally, I don't know, because we would be spending road fund dollars, dedicated road funds. The other issue you get into is all of a sudden you've got the county out there acting as a contractor.
No, I don't mean that. What I'm saying is if they have a budget and they have dollars and you say it's going to cost $21,000 to fix that road to their what they would like done, and they pay you $21,000, can you do that or do you do that? Because then you're not taking your dedicated road funds for that.
We don't do that. It's something that I would probably have to run by our commissioners and our legal counsel.
Because we did that in Lane County. That's one of the questions I'm asking.
I think one of the issues that you could run into on that is conflict with private contractors. You know, basically they could say, look, that money should be going out to private contractors. That would have the county actually acting as a private contractor. That's one issue that could come up on that.
I understand that, and we went through that, but we had a lot of contractors that didn't want to mess with those roads.
Yep.
That's why we ended up being the sole source, we as Lane County.
That would be something I would definitely want to run by our legal counsel, to double check.
Mr. President, if I may.
Sure.
Right now, today, I live in a Cagle subdivision.
Okay.
Those are all dirt and gravel roads, and they're not anywhere near county specifications. They never have been. They probably never will be. But the city council now, and for the last 2 years, does provide spring and fall road maintenance, which is filling in the potholes, pulling the gravel out of the ditches, re-ditching the sides for drainage, and snow removal, which we never had before. We had to do it ourselves. which, you know, for 10 years was, you know, not an easy thing to do. So, and that takes care of all of Cagle and Drafter Road, which is 8.2 miles. That is all of the gravel roads in the northern end of town. And I have to say, thanks to the work that Mr. Allen's done, the roads are maintained in pretty good shape. They need work now because it's coming into spring. We've got, we're full of potholes. Normal winter thing. But that is being done, and it's within, of course, it takes almost all of the road tax budget money to do it. And the people there are happy as a clam with it. We don't have a problem with it. It's an improvement that we've never had before. And there's not a major problem to it.
So who maintains the roads for the city on that?
Well, it's contracted out right now.
The contract I gave you, Vic Russell's contract. So what we, this is our new city manager, Steve Haskin.
Hey, Duke Bucks. I've met Steve. Some of you. Hello. Best wishes to you in this endeavor.
The city has no staff up until we get sewer and water, but even then, I think so, 2 points. One is we contract it out and we do a bid for the fall, what we've done historically, but that's some of the stuff you can think about, you know, what is our role, where does it change and go. But we have contracted out, we've done two contracts. I did for a fall and a spring, so that way the same person does it. And we've had Lapine Equipment a couple times, and this time Vic Russell got that bid. So it's got to the private contractors. If you look in the contract, it'll say things like they crown it to a certain degree or something. That's your lingo. That's not the stuff that I deal in. But anyway, you know, you do this, so water runs off. Before I got here, evidently, they graveled all those roads. Some the city paid for gravel, correct?
Yeah, about 5 years ago. Over the last 4 or 5 years ago, yes.
Okay. Now, when we just one more thought on that. When we merge, they actually don't have the equipment to go out and do it, or necessarily all the equipment needed for this. So I would, you know, I think that that's something that the city and for you to talk about down the road. Do we, at least for the next year or two, continue on that path, contracting that out? Because to go buy that expensive equipment, nice graders and things, you know, you can go out and actually you'll see in the contract, it's not all that bad. It costs us about $5,000 for them to go out and do that. And that's man, labor, equipment, everything, rolling, watering, pulling from the edges and then reapplying. So, well, I'll tell you.
I do have one recommendation on gravel roads like you've got in Cagle. The county does have gravel roads that are old established county roads that we've had since the early 1900s. And we put mag chloride on them at the beginning of every year. What that does is the same stuff we use for ice control, and we use it for dust control. And it works really well on low volume roads because it holds the road together. It draws moisture in. And we found on low volume roads, we have to blame them once. And you'll find over time, it'll tighten that road up. So it does two things. It holds your road together and it takes care of dust control.
Well, you know, we looked into that a couple of years ago, and the cost for doing that for the 8.2 miles we've got was $85,000. That wouldn't leave any money left over for
right.
Snowplowing.
And did you, I know,
and have the money for it.
For people have been, and you'd have to talk to Roger Olson on this, but they were buying the mag chloride at our cost. They were, you know, they were getting the mag at our cost and getting someone to come in and spread it. So yeah, I'm not, you know, it could be a high cost, but I think it's time, it's just something to look at. You know, maybe you don't do it on all roads. Maybe you just do it on your main, you know, traveled roads, but it is something we do on ours, and it really does make a difference on them.
That's an interesting thought, something to think about and talk about, because, you know, you could try one road. You could try Cagle Road, which is down through the middle, kind of, and then you get the most benefit as an experiment. So you spend $5,000 or $10,000 doing that road to see, does it, in fact, reduce dust? Does it kind of compact and, you know, that type of thing? Because that's...
Yeah. You do need to make sure you've got, I mean, you want to use the base rock that you use is what we call a commercial or a reject that's got more fines in it. if someone, you know, state spec rock from ODOT is coarse. It's more bones. You can't really compact it. So you got to use the right material. You got to apply it right. The cost could be an issue, but it does work for us on our roads.
How did these roads become, and I don't know that you know it, but it's something I've never done the research. How did they become, is it ORS that they became a city street? It's not the ballot title. I've not seen a document. I mean, somebody owned those roads. He said they've been plowing them and fixing them for decades. So it's kind of funny. It's just like, well, those are assumed, and they're even on your map here, that they're under city jurisdiction. And I think now they are, just because you've done it for this many years. But I just kind of wondered.
You mean like Cagle Road?
Yes. How did those become city streets?
Not being a lawyer, I'm not sure the answer on that, but I think when you set your boundaries, anything within those city limit boundaries are city roads.
Unless they're a county road?
Unless they're a county road, unless they're a county established road, but I'm not positive on that.
And that could be, because the county didn't take gravel roads.
No.
We don't, there are no gravel roads that the county...
Well, there are, but those are roads that, if you look back, it goes back to when we were Kerr County. And some of those were established 1898, 1904, but they were actually established and signed by the county commissioners. And those are gravel roads. Any time a road is to be considered a county road, the commissioners actually have to sign an order that establishes it a county road. If there's no order out there, like with Cagle and that, they're just dedicated public right-of-ways that were dedicated on a plat, they can't be accepted as county roads.
In regards to roads that you're talking about, Mr. Allen, you're talking paved roads as opposed to gravel roads?
No, the gravel is what I was talking about in this case.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were asking about, does the county have gravel roads?
Well, no, of both. I mean, we were talking about Cagle, my question was that I guess it must be an ORS.
It could be.
That made those. I always like to go through, I like to go through the history. You know, people repeat stuff so many times.
Yeah.
You people just think it's fact. And I was like, okay, the mayor tells me they're city streets.
Yeah. I think once it's within the city limits, it's under city jurisdiction. I think jurisdiction could be different than maintenance. So the right-of-way, say, of Huntington Road is under city jurisdiction now. But the maintenance of that road would be Deschutes County. I kind of compare it to a road district, because a road district, they create their boundaries. They maintain the roads within that road district boundary. But the county still has jurisdiction over those right-of-ways. If someone comes in and puts in speed bumps or is doing something, they can call the county and we'll take care of that. So I guess you could look at it where City Lapine is.
So they take these.
Those are actually.
So I'm assuming they're gravel.
Those are actually not public right-of-ways. Those are. Let me go grab. I mean, there's a couple roads in Lapine.
You got the three there, and then you have Walling, Anchor, Shields Drive. Telegraph Road.
Yep. In fact, I brought research on Telegraph Road. I looked for research on Elena Willow and Evergreen.
Let's go down to Telegraph if you did research.
Yep. I've got where we did it. It is not Telegraph. We can't find any indication it's public right away.
Which means
it's right. We have no jurisdiction over it. If anybody called up and said, "Hey guys, block that road," if this was still a county, I'd say I don't have any jurisdiction over it.
Okay, so that road, take Telegraph. Now there's numerous houses off it.
Yep.
Okay. Is it easements? Are they driving over other people's private property, or is it a public usage road? Is there a right of way?
There's no right of way.
So it's property line. They're basically touched. Property line to property line, private.
You would have, when we look at it, and I mean, I could read through this. That's why I was going to leave. It's complicated. It's not. You can't just say it's
it's complicated, is the best way I can put it. You can get into what we call prescriptive rights on a road like that, where someone can say, it's been driven by the public for 10 years, it gets into a court case then it gets established by the courts. Elda, Willow, and Evergreen, they are actually separate tax lots. They're all three owned by a Glenn Anderson, who's out of Pleasant Hill, Oregon. They're not public right-of-ways.
Do several houses live down those streets?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of subdivisions. Dustin, I think, is another one. Mm-hmm. That whole subdivision is, there's roads out there, there's homes off those roads, there's no dedicated right-of-way. The roads go through, right through the middle of properties.
Sounds like we have some homework to do.
Yeah, I mean, we do have, I couldn't find any research, I've got the research for Telegraph that we've done, I couldn't find any research on Shields, I think Anchorway was another one, the three up off of Burgess and Huntington. A lot of it is deed research. You go pull out property deeds and say, they'll give their description and they'll say subject to an easement or subject to a road or subject to if there's anything there.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question. I mean, now these are subdivisions. How do they get allowed to build without building the infrastructure?
That was back at most of these subdivisions that you find that are like this were built in the 70s, 60s and 70s when there was no land use rules. I mean, good examples, Deschutes River Woods up by Bent. Basically, all they had to do was come in, they could plat the subdivision. If they took a road grader or blade and pulled a road through there, they did not have to build those roads to any standard.
But this is not allowed anymore. Say a new subdivision comes in, they have to build all the infrastructure out of their own pocket.
Yep. If Huntington Meadows, say if that one was built in the 60s, none of those roads would be paved. Hmm. Now they're all paved.
Okay.
Yep.
Here's an example of this snow plowing question, but this is your neighborhood.
Right.
So you can see, you barely can see the lot lines, but all of these, they got the driveways, whichever. You'll notice, here's Huntington. There's lots, and then there's lots back here. You don't see a road. Well, there is I would call it an alleyway.
Right.
It's paved. Well, these people called and complained. Maybe it was you. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you live on it.
I don't live on it.
But anyway, these people called and complained and said, how come you're not plowing our road?
Yeah.
And I go back to our map and say, well, we didn't do it before. I inherited this list. So I went out there and looked, and it's this narrow. But it is their only access, it's their driveway, it's their backyard. Then I heard, well, what had happened when they platted this, they expected these folks to come in off Huntington. Well, the county probably said, we are not having 15 or 20 driveways coming off Huntington, because that's a collector type, or I don't know if it's a collector, what it is, but it's a major.
Sorry.
So the developer then threw this road behind these houses. So while we technically maintain these two green ones, here's are the county, then these ones, which only have one house on them, and these have never, they're there, but there's no houses yet because of the economy. These ones would be city jurisdiction. Okay, what do we do with this street? Do we snowplow it? Now, if you have a bad public because they don't understand, and you try to tell them, well, it's not, you mentally, it's very difficult to walk them through this.
I think on one of those things, that road, I don't think you can get a snow plow through there. It's pretty much a single lane.
You could, but where do you put the snow? And then they call, would they complain because you blocked their driveway? But that's an example of, either we have to educate the people here because what happens when the potholes start coming? That's the next question. See, when the road starts falling apart a decade from now, is the city going to fix it, pave it? Type of thing.
It's falling apart now, actually.
Do your ORS statutes cover any of that? That's why I say maybe we have some homework to do.
What? To a degree. I mean, he would know. I mean, this stuff pops up all over. It's not a city street.
Normally, if it's private, like for the city or for the county, if it's a private road, it's the residents that live along that road. It's their jurisdiction. They have to maintain it. Same way with local access roads. Even though it's a public right-of-way, they have to maintain it because it's not maintained by the county. I just kind of did a quick look through the statutes and the ORSs, and I noticed that there is one under cities, and they were talking about streets. Just a quick look, I didn't see anything on maintenance, but it wouldn't be a bad thing to look at. Because the ORSs is what I use a lot. I don't like to go to people and say, well, we're just not going to maintain your road. What is good is if you can say, look, per Oregon revised statutes, give them a section, give them documentation of why you're making that decision, why you're not taking care of their road. It's like, City of Bend and County sidewalks. You know, if you look at it, county code, state statute says the property owner takes care of the sidewalks, even though it's in the city, in the public right-of-way.
I think there's two focuses here. There's one of service delivery, and that is we as a city are trying to provide an adequate service delivery for all of our citizens, for all of our roadways. But also there's the issue of trespass and private property rights, and that is we may say, or someone living on a road that's private in nature may say, we want the service, but you know, do we have the authority to trespass there and provide that service? Because after all, it is private property, and that comes into play. And so you go out there for all the best of reasons and trespass and have a claim against the city because you did something on private land where you had no authorities, and then you create liabilities for the city. So there's a caution to not going someplace without first understanding whether you have the authorities to go there. And if you don't have the authorities to go there, then you don't create some authorities to go there just for the sake of going there.
So but you've got to educate the public of that too.
Yeah. That's true. The one thing that the county, I remember you were talking about road committees. And actually this year the county, Sheets County put together a road study committee. It started out, we were going to look at, our funding is going away. You know, we're funded by forest receipts, motor vehicle revenue. Our motor vehicle revenue is coming in 10% less. I mean, this year we were supposed to get 11 million, we'll probably get 10. Forest receipts, we've gone from 3 million down to, I think this year we're getting 396,000. So the committee was originally formed to look at what funding sources are out there for the county to increase their funding levels. And what we ended up doing is saying, okay, we need to look at, number one, the efficiency of the road department. How do we run our business? So when we go to the people and ask for more money, we can say, look, we've looked at cutting staff, we've looked at privatizing, we've looked at, you know, different ways of measuring our roads. We save this much, we're still X amount short, we have to go out for a bond or tax or whatever. And what we're looking at on that is because of our diminishing road funds, I think we have to, it's, you almost want to say a triage, but you have to look at, you know, do you go a private alley, do you spend X amount of dollars there that serves, what, 10 homes? When you've got a road like Lyme Falls Highway that's got 8,000 cars on it a day, so you have to prioritize that spending. And we have what we call pavement condition index, which is a good, basically very good, good, fair, poor on your road condition. We're actually going and are going to contract with a company that we're going to just redo our whole PMS system. I think actually, can't think of the guy's name, he actually worked at Lane County or Marion County. But we're going to redo everything. We're going to look at it instead of saying, okay, we want all our roads to be at a PCI of 70 or better. We may say, no, arterials will be 80. You know, collectors,
those acronyms, you're using PCIs.
Pavement condition index. Yeah. And what that is they will go out, they'll look at a road, they'll look at cracks, they'll look at edge, they'll look at ruts, they'll look at all the defects in the road. That goes into a formula and it kicks out a number, 50, 60, 70, 80. Normally you like to be 70 and above. We may look at saying, okay, we may put our locals at a lower level, our collectors at mid-level, and our arterials we place at a higher level, so our money will basically start top down, and we've got a certain
degree. Are you going to be doing that on all the roads?
Yes.
Including these ones?
No.
The county roads in the city?
Yes. So
that's good, because you take Don. You see, to Don, his subdivision, his roads are starting to have issues.
Yep.
My guess is, in your system of roads, they may be way less issues than he thinks. Because, and so then, and we need to know that, because since The majority of the roads in the city are county, and when people start to perceive that the condition of them is diminishing, and they're the ones that have to do the repairs, we need to know where do they fit on that grading system or that list, because while to them, again, it's all perspective to yourself, you've got from here to Terrebonne to Sisters worth of roads, mm-hmm. and it's one bad road to one is a freeway to another.
Yeah, and we will be, any roads within the city of Lapine that are county maintained roads, we'll be doing the survey on them this year.
That'll give us as the city a basis to go by from now on.
You know, we've got you to look on there. Yes, exactly. I mean, we have 2.7 miles of paved road in the city. The county's got, what, 12?
40.
No, it's 18, 19,
about
20.
19, yeah.
So they're talking, you know, so 80% of the roads in the city that are paved are actually county. Or they're like this. There's a few of these old no-mail.
And the whole reasoning behind doing this new study is we can forecast out, okay, if we spend X amount of dollars, what's that road going to be like in 10, 15 years? What different treatments, if we do this treatment to it, what will that do in 10 years? This treatment, what will it do in 10 years? Because roads, you know, if you have a graph, I'll do some air drawing here, but a road graph usually goes like this. Up here, it's at 100, and it'll just deteriorate as time goes on. The longer you wait down this leg of that chart, the more expensive it is to bring it back up to a good level to keep it maintained.
So maybe one that we should do, again, we bring this up for another meeting, for our agenda, do we want to either piggyback or find someone? We don't know the condition of our 2.79 miles, so maybe we want to know, because one thing we don't want to do is lose those roads.
Could we get an IGA with them to assess that?
Yeah.
And that's something, and I can, I'll talk to the, because the department director is working with, I can't think of the name of the company right now, Joel Condor is a guy that, I think he's out of Marion County, used to work with Marion County, I think, as their maintenance supervisor. He's running this company. And what we're looking at, it may be, I can get you his contact info, and you may be able to work directly with him.
Email me that, and then those ORSs you keep referring to. Do you guys think that that's something we could do, maybe piggyback with them or hire him while he's down here? I mean, we're road dust. How many miles of road is he checking for you guys?
Yeah, he'll be checking about 900.
900, well, 2.7, he won't know if he did them or not, so it might be so cheap. And I'll make sure that Don's standing out on the road when they come by his house.
Yeah, I'll get you that. And actually what we're doing is City of Redmond, Crook County, I think Jefferson County is also using this company.
Oh.
So what we're looking at doing is instead of having him come and look at Crook County's road, then come and look at Jefferson County's, we'll get everybody grouped together so when he comes in and does his road study, he just does everybody at once. And what they'll do is they'll do like arterials every year, collectors every 2 years, I think it's locals every 4 years. And what that does is that gives us an indication of what's our road system doing. You know, before we just had it year by year, this way we can look at it and say, okay, if we seal coat it this year, what's that going to give us for condition of our road 5 years down the line? If we chip seal 5 years down the line, we can kind of start determining how we want to budget with the money we have to keep roads at a certain level. So I'll email you his information.
Because, you know, quickly, like Huntington Meadows, we've got a couple streets, but if they're the ones without houses on them.
Right. No one's too much interested in those. It's the ones, I'm curious why it was divided between county and city. Why wasn't the whole development fall underneath the city or the county?
Well, it comes into the city limits. You know, once the city limits are established, if it's built while it's a city, then it becomes a city road. So the roads that were built before the city was created are county roads. If they were built after the city was created, then they're city roads. That's my understanding. I don't know if they may be illegal.
Yeah, we studied that subdivision. I had the stuff from the county, and I went through that, and it was basically the county approved Huntington Meadows, and then they did a phase called a phase one, and phase one was Heath Drive,
right.
And the city hadn't even incorporated yet. So there was no city standards, there was no city to talk to, so therefore the county approved it. The county at that time was they were taking jurisdiction on the roads. See, they won't assume a road now, unless,
right.
So, but but in that day they did. Then Cassidy came, same thing, it was still under county, the city hadn't formed. Then the city formed, and that's then when Riley was the next road, and that's how it happened. And that's the same over in, I believe we're split in Crescent Creek. There's a few, we can go over and look at Crescent Creek, and I think you will see the same thing, where some are, there's look at the different colors there.
Yeah.
And the green, that was the first two, county, the first two phases, probably. They built the clubhouse over here off Finley, and then they did the first two phases, then the city is the brown. So what happens is, like right now, we plow it, we actually plow it and bill back based on the percentage of miles. So when we get a $1,000 plowing bill, maybe they paid $300 of it, you know, and so we go through and calculate it. But
So those county streets will always be under county?
Until there's an agreement between the city and the county to transfer.
Okay.
Just kind of like, just like what we did with the city of Bend.
All right.
And that's actually covered in the ORSs also. I think the city makes a request to the county.
So see, if you look at, that's a perfect example almost. You got the red, which is...
Red was city.
Red's the city, I guess that's a city collector. Mm-hmm. And then the purple is a county collector. And then the green's a, so the purples are county. My point here, like the purples are county and the green are county. These two colors are ours. So there's a subdivision almost divided in half. That's a place someday the city maybe would work a deal with the county. That's problematic when you're like that.
Yes.
Maybe say, you know what, city, you go ahead and take Finley and Crescent and take these two green ones in exchange for, maybe they take the two of the roads that are left over in your subdivision, mm-hmm. is one example.
Okay.
Because then they got a whole subdivision. Or he said, the county says, we'll pay you $100,000. Yeah, this is a fake number. We'll pay you $100,000 or $25,000 a year for 4 years. You take it over. That's what goes on. When I was mayor of Madras, when we annexed out, the county, we negotiate, but the cities have to get enough for it now in order to make it worthwhile, or else it's a money loser, and to a degree it hurts everyone else. So you have to look at it kind of, especially with this new economy, declining gas tax revenue.
Right.
And do you want general fund money from your property taxes? Generally, they do not go to road funds. Now in Lapine, you can do some of that. You could do that anywhere if you want, but I would assume most jurisdictions do not put property tax money too much into their road funds, right?
Well, the issue that we would run into, and this was a discussion that came up when we were talking about road funding for the county, is what if we go and take X amount of property tax into the county system, road system, for road maintenance? Well, if you do that, now we've kind of opened up every road within the county we'll need to maintain. So what it does is it kind of puts us in a bigger hole where a lot of these roads, and the biggest thing I try to tell folks when we look at roads, a lot of them, when they plowed them, they just blew the material off to the side, so your existing ground is here, your road is down here, and they're just a water trap. You need to build the roads up above the ground on each side so the water can shed off, because that's what kills your roads is water in the spring, water and frost. So if we were getting property taxes, that opens up all the local access roads technically to the county to maintain, unless in the policy language the board says we're not going to do that. And I think if that went to vote, it would never pass, because, you know, if you live on a gravel road and all of a sudden you got to pay an extra $500, but you're not going to get anything for it for road improvements, that's a tough one. And if all those roads all of a sudden got opened up to us, it'd take a lot of money to get them shaped up to where we could maintain them.
So as of right now, there's not one penny of property taxes go towards the roads?
No.
Well, that's not true here at this point, I think.
I think cities are different, but I'm not that positive on it.
Yeah. Lapine did kind of, if you go back to their first budget, it was just one budget. See, first of all, things were kind of lumped together, and then they started separating things out. And if you look at the budget this year, we've got, and they did roads separately last year too, and for a couple of years, but you know, if you lump it all together, you can't tell where mm-hmm. money goes and comes from. Now it's separate. The sheet I gave you is the road fund. I think the case could be made here for a certain amount of money from the general fund. Now, I don't want to get into that trap you're talking, so that's something to, but we have a very low property tax. $1.80 a thousand is what we've been levying. Well, just to give you an example, Redmond's $5 a thousand, Mattress is $4.20. You know, we're half. So you can't buy a hamburger at McDonald's and consider it a ribeye. You can, but you know, there's a disconnect. So, you know, and then the gas tax income is dropping because of people are driving less with and the economy. So if you look here, if you look at that budget, if you want to see what our road money coming in, you can go to the revenue, and it's the state street tax gas fund, $78,000 on the right column. Okay. And then you can look in the past, it's 61, 66, 71, that's line six.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 78. I don't know what it'll be this year, have we got our estimates yet, but that technically per year is what the state of Oregon's giving us to spend on roads in the city. Anything above that would be general fund, or in this case, money we've saved over the years that we might haven't spent. You know, we've got interest, we've transferred in some money, and you'll notice that we have we have money because it's been saved. The city's been in existence 5 years and they haven't spent 70 or 80 grand a year. You know, so it's been building up. And if you're gonna go do a major job in a city this size, and I put, reserve for future expenditures, you see that 75 grand on line 14? We didn't spend that this year, and that is starting to build a reserve fund. The idea, thinking that if you're going to go out and actually do a, say, rebid what he said, you went out with Russell. You go over to Cagle, and Cagle, really, if it's going to be cities and we're going to make it, we need to go in, clear the right-of-ways back, the trees have overgrown, we did a little of that as an experiment on Cagle, which worked great, we had no complaints, and we took the trees back 4 feet on each side. But what's happened is the trees have grown in, the branches grow in, the grader can't grade because it's hitting. Then you tend to move to the middle, and then over time the road actually shifts to a degree, the road shifts, the gravel gets thrown to the edges when you plow, and then what you notice now is there aren't as much of a pit, a borrow pit or a ditch, and so then the water puddles. It's almost at street level, and what we noticed where the potholes mostly were, Steve, is where the water was sitting right next to a low spot, and the water's almost there, so I think underneath the dirt, the water's there. So then cars kick it up or something.
Well,
maybe
one thing you'll find is if there's water in the ditches, even if you have ditches, traffic water will make water pump. The traffic over a road, I've had it on some roads where I've walked on a road just walking, and I'll move my feet like this, and you'll feel the water, it'll start to pump, and it'll just bring the water up. Mm-hmm. So we have roads, Stage Stop Meadows off of South Century, mm-hmm. got good ditches and stuff, but every year we get failure because that water just migrates under the road.
Well, not only that, you got ground frozen 6 inches yes. below the surface. That doesn't help matters any. And the speed that people travel on these gravel roads, all they have to do is bring a tire just a minute amount off the ground, and you start getting a little spin, becomes a chuck hole. I ran Blade for years, and you can't convince people this causes right. potholes.
Yeah. Now, so water is the worst enemy of a road.
Absolutely.
You've got to try and get it off and to the side.
So that 75 grand is sitting there. So next year, if we were all things are equal, we have some more, you maybe we end up with 125 in a pot. The theory is, if we're truly going to go to a decent project, you know, 50 grand is going to get you there. You've got to have some money. So if we wanted to go into Cagle, that we're there, we could do an analysis of it. Maybe come in with kind of what level we want to bring those to, and maybe you do a 2 or 3 year phase in, or maybe you do it all at once. But you go in and you bring those trees back, build the road up, get it right, maybe you mix it with some of the chloride, you know, or whatever, and you start to have a better road. You have to decide that's what you want to do. And then, but also we got to know about those 2.7 miles paved road. In a 5-year period, do we need to do an overlay, a chip seal? What's a chip seal of 2.7 miles? Is that 100 grand? We could actually budget out of like a 5-year plan of kind of projecting our income, how much general fund would we need maybe to do it. We have a manageable number of road, miles of roads. You got 7 or 8 miles of gravel road, and you got 2 or 3 miles of paved road.
And that's where that pavement management system might be able to help you out. Because with that, and that's what we didn't have with our old pavement management system, is we could go out, we could see what our roads were now, but it really didn't give us what we call forecasting ability. And that's what you want to have, is a system that will allow you to say, okay, if we spend $200,000 on this road, what do we got in 5 years? If we spend $50,000, what do we got in 5 years? What treatments are available? That's a big, at least it lets us know that we're putting our dollars where they should be based on these studies.
On here, just to the budget, you see the 80,000 transportation TSP on line 8, and you'll see line 9 below. You've got 80 in and 80 out. That is a grant for a transportation system plan. So what you have is that's revenue neutral to the city. You up on the revenue, which is the top half, it's in. The bottom half is the expenses. So that, and we got a grant from ODOT, it's actually going to be $100,000. And they're going to start that. You guys will get reports on that. They will start doing that. Their Kittleson will be doing it, and they'll start that here in the next month or two. And they're going to go over all of the transportation needs, and they don't get into pavement management, I'm assuming, in a TSP.
No, Kittleson's more of a transportation
engineering
firm.
So that number inflates the number, you know, in there, because it's an in and an out. The $100,000 for contract services, what that is because we don't have any of our own, we contract everything. So what makes up that 100 grand? In my budget I did, we put 20,000 for road snow plowing. We probably won't spend, I mean, not even half, quarter of that this year, just because, you know, we haven't had much snow. We probably plowed just a few times. And then 10,000 for road grading, and that is the Cagle contract, basically, you know, is kind of, and this is estimated a year ago. Then 70,000 is materials and services. So that is, it's not set to a project, it's money that theoretically can go with that 75. I mean, we built up some money, so we can go do, if there's some projects, people, you know, you can kind of, if we get a good plan, I think we could go out and do some things on the roads that fall within our jurisdiction. Maybe it's signage, dead ends, you know, Cagle is the problem child over as far as that, just because they're the nature of the beast. Dead end roads, you don't want people going down. If you look at all those streets that are dead end, what's happening now is, get over here, move up some steam. At the far north end, you see the dead ends? Well, every guy puts his own dead end sign out. One is this big, one is yellow, one is white, one is on a post, one is on a tree, and it's because they don't want the traffic. But the reality is we don't either. It's because it just adds dust and it makes more trips. And you get a guy with a camp trailer, he doesn't know where that's going. He can't turn around. So I talked to Scott. Now that's something our new public works guys, when we get, they can go out. And I thought, you know, we go out, you count, we need five dead end signs. And we need 5 posts. And we go out, we actually have a uniform signage in the city. And there's other places at the end of where Ed lives that don't go anywhere, and you can start doing that. The other thing is 25 mile an hour speed signs on these gravel streets, put one at each end. Those are locals, city type subdivision streets, so the law is 25 miles an hour, that type of stuff. And I think the public would really like it, because the same thing, the speed signs are what I would call home-based. And then one guy puts down, you know, children at play sign, or drive slow, I don't like dust. You know, everyone just kind of does whatever they prefer. So I was thinking that that's an area to look at too, as you go in and you really, the city needs a standard, and the state has a standard on the sizes, the colors, and the posts.
Yeah, what you want to use for any signing is what's called a manual on uniform traffic control devices, and it's a federal document that you really need to follow, because if you don't, then you're putting yourself at liability.
Right. Yeah, and you'd go down and if you wanted to have Kegel be the through street, you could put stop signs on the side streets. When they come up to Kegel, they stop. Kegel gets, you know, gets to go because it's run from Huntington off the paved road. You know, those are all.
Okay, we're talking about this Kegel thing, and I see everything there is unimproved. So how much does it cost each year to go out there and do the snow removal on that?
Depends. It costs about. We pay by the hour. We have a contract. I didn't give you that, but we have a contract that's by the hour for two contractors because they each start at different ends of town. So it depends on the snow, and, you know. Mm-hmm. But as a round, just a guess, $700 per contractor per event. It can be $500. Mm-hmm. So you could say $1,000 to do the whole town. To 1,400, if you do it three times a year, you spend $3,000 or $4,000. You do it six times a year, you know, multiply it out. That's it. It's pretty cheap when you figure the equipment and manpower. Okay. And they do it pretty fast. I think people are generally happy with the snow plowing, as happy as people get with snow plowing.
Okay, then do we have to go out and gravel this every so often? Re-gravel this area?
Well, that I think that needs to be done. I don't know, Steve, what you thought when you were out there with Vic.
Yeah, these roads need to be graveled every occasionally, especially where they get funky. And they, as your road engineer has said, what's your title, by the way? Your county engineer?
I'm the county engineer, yes.
Okay, the county engineer. You know, your road eventually has to be up above the adjoining area, and there's a formula for base in which you have to, you know, and the county won't accept a road into its standards, even if we wanted them to, until you met the standards. And then in addition to that, I understand there's a moratorium on accepting roads since 2006, is that correct?
Yeah, in 2006 they put a moratorium. It was pretty much just a general moratorium on all roads. Since then they've changed it to we'll accept an arterial or a collector road, but no local roads. So if someone comes in for a subdivision now, say if this area was going to be developed as a subdivision, they would have to come up with a road maintenance agreement.
What's the chances you would take it now?
Zero.
That's what I thought. It's our street.
Yep.
The question, do you have a functionally classified road map for all the roads in the county and that you've constructed over time to get the standards in terms of
road? You're looking for a road that just shows class. I think I can get you one, sure.
Okay.
That shows all roads within the county.
Well, and that way we know which ones we're going to anticipate be arterials or collectors or local streets.
You've got the roads within the Pine City limits. I can get you one that shows the overall county.
Well, it'd be nice in proximity to the city, so.
Yep.
You know, and then the other issue is connectivity. Is there a strategy to preserve all the section line and half section line roads in the county?
A lot of that will show up on the county transportation system plan.
Uh-huh.
And that's being upgraded right now. They've been doing quite a few meetings on that. I think it's going before the board here this month.
Okay.
But I'll make a note to get a map. I think at that meeting that we had on Tuesday night, a couple weeks ago, I had a road. Basically, I think it showed all the county roads south of the Spring River Road. I'll take a look at that map.
Okay.
These two maps you left, big ones, we'll mount them on the wall, I think, so that they're always in here.
Yeah.
It's nice to.
But I can get you, I'll take a look at that one map. And actually, if you're looking just at South County, I can get a map from our guy that would show, say, from Spring River Road south, arterials, collectors, and locals within Deschutes County, if that would help.
Would it be possible to also get a copy of the specifications for each of those?
Specifications?
What you would require for gravel base for just a collector street or a local street?
Yeah, and that's actually, you can get that online. If you go into county code, it'll give you all of our code for working on county roads. It gives you, actually, it's got a table that shows Lapine roads also.
Okay.
But it'll give what we require for local arterial, gives width, pavement depth, all that. I can get you a copy of that, but it is available online.
What's our right-of-way out there in this Cable. What's the right-of-way out there?
Off the top of my head, I'd probably say 60 feet. Most right-of-ways within the county are 60 feet.
Okay.
An exception is Deschutes River Woods. For some reason, those were all 50 feet. Mm-hmm. Most of them are 60 feet. I would have to double-check that, though.
And the road is probably... how wide?
30?
No. 40.
You're saying 60 feet, 30 feet on each side for the center line, is that right?
Yes.
What you're saying? Well, right now, those roads out there average 21 feet. So you've got not quite 11 feet on each side up to the ditch. And in the wintertime, when the snow's there, it's almost impossible for two cars to get, yeah, unless one goes in the ditch. And they've always been that way. Always.
Yeah. One thing I do caution people is don't consider the traveled road to be the center of the right-of-way, because we found they can be anywhere around the right-of-way. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody will ask, I've had calls, I want to fence my property, can I measure off the road? And it's like, no, get your property lines found, because mm-hmm. we've had roads, we've done LIDs where the road's completely out of the right-of-way. So you do not want to measure off the center of a road. If it's a paved road, you're going to be closer, but I don't even recommend that.
Well, you know, that when you get out there, obviously you two especially, they lands. One, you know, someone got their fence way back, and then the next one, you know, they've got their, what are those little, what are those things? They put these, like, ceramic thingies out there, you know, not trolls.
No.
But,
No.
And they put all these things out there, you know, it's all the trinkets, and what happens over time, they really almost think it's theirs, and of course, mm-hmm. then you get a new owner, and they really do, and so we were so nervous when we went out to cut the trees back. I went out and put ribbon on trees, and I decided just to go back about 5 feet, kind of split the baby, because I thought if we got too aggressive, and worked with Doug a lot on that. We held a hearing at the school, nobody showed, but we went and marked trees like red meant red was coming down, yellow was we're thinking about it, and green was it stayed. And so that people could then look for themselves. And you know, we really didn't get calls. People were okay, but we were pretty delicate about it. And it only cost us $2,000. Brigham private contractor was $2,200. They come in and did the Kegel Road, the whole length. And they had dump truck loads, and they chipped it, and all kinds of stuff. And so some of these other side streets there that feed into Cable need done. And that was just an experiment, though, to see how much pushback we would get. Didn't have any.
A lot of times, if we're on our LIDs and we were still doing them, if we had to remove trees, a lot of times the contractor would offer the trees to the residents for firewood. And they'd clear it out.
Reed Market Road is going to be a mess when Ben gets to that.
Boy, I'm glad I'm not in the city.
All those fences are all
there.
Oh, yeah.
There's one hedge on that road that the guy's pretty much said he'll shoot anybody that touches it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Oh, yeah. That one.
That's where Reed Market
is. Move on?
Yeah, well, we kind of got down the maintenance discussion, I think, at the same time a little bit, which is the next item. So right now, you know, we have the contract lit, they're ready, they'll be grading out in Kegel. So for this year, you know, for the next month or two, it's kind of, you can let that get it all shaped up nice. But it sounds like, you know, maybe we need to see if we can't get this pavement analysis done in with these folks. You seem to agree on that. If we come back next month with more information on that, I don't know when they're starting this, are they?
We've actually started it already. We're giving them our information. They haven't come out and done the actual field visit yet. We're
kind of taking all our old information, getting it to them to put into their system.
Do you know if they do gravel roads too?
That I don't know. I'll get you Joel Rogers contact
information. But you have come back with maybe some costs to do. It'd be maybe nice to do the gravel and the paved, kind of so that you know where what's out there, what yeah. we need, and then so that you can plot for, you know, a year down the road.
I'm not sure gravel roads would work that well because it's pretty much a gravel road is a yearly thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know if someone could look at those as to see what do they need, but maybe you guys could go out and do that.
Pretty much on a gravel road, the biggest thing you need to look at is that you've got it up off the surface and you've got a free draining surface and you've got ditches.
Basically, pick your width that you want, if you want to go to 24 feet or whatever it should be, right. And then you just, and you...
Yeah, you know, on a paved road, you've got, you know, seal coat, slurry seal, chip seal, overlay, thin lift overlay, you know, full depth reclamation. You can use that to go out in future years. A gravel road really is plated.
But you know, like an example I noticed when we were out there, you if say we raise it, then you start getting into culverts or driveways. So do you just let it just become a dam? Because, you know, coming off of that, you got to go into the driveway. So each one becomes a dam, or do you put a little culvert in each crossing?
Normally we put in culverts. We'll look at it if it's a really flat. I mean, if you've got at the most 1%, 2% grade in that area, the water's not going to go anywhere anyway. So, and it soaks in the ground so quick here in this area that really culverts can cause you more problems than.
But if it's pretty flat.
Yeah, but if you've got a road with a dip in it, then you've got to determine, do you need culverts? And then also got to figure out what you do when the water gets into there. So it's kind of an individual look, go out in the field and look at them.
Well, what kind of storm system do we have in downtown here?
None.
You know, we got some lagoons, don't we?
Evaporation.
Evaporation lagoons or soaking lagoons.
In the industrial park, you have little dry wells that have been put in, I think.
Well, those are different than lagoons.
Right. Those are, there's a couple things that have done those. And actually, that's something that we're working with DEQ on, the county is, because they're actually on county maintained roads. We've actually got to decommission possibly all the dry wells that are within Lapine because of your water table depth. Mm-hmm. So we've got to look at one we're looking at now, 3rd Street in Huntington, or Lake Huntington, as we called it after a couple
Right there.
Yeah, and so we've surveyed it and we've looked at, do you pipe it out 3rd Street to the west? And because really anything you do in Lapine, you're going to have to do a drainage swale. Dry wells aren't going to work here. You're going to have some sort of what we call a swale. That's what DEQ accepts. So we've also looked at going north on Huntington and either tying into the existing swale that's at the fire depot there, fire office, or we talked to the fire department. They said they would allow us to go along over to where their helipad is, put a swale in there, help them with their drainage. Or we actually looked at, there is a pipe in Huntington Road from Huntington 4th, and then it goes out into the wetlands, and there's actually a pipe there. We're not sure how it works. We've got to look into that. We thought, can we tie into that? But that drains into the wetlands, and then you get into issues with Department of State lands on that. Mm-hmm. And actually, that wetlands is actually all plotted lots. Platted lots. That's a subdivision. Mm-hmm.
Well, that won't be built.
It won't be built, but it's still private property.
It's probably going to be red lots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's outside our UGB, I'm assuming.
It'd be between Huntington and I'd have to look.
Once you drop.
Actually, it's not. It's if you can.
It's not quite so bad.
George, you were saying that I know DEQ has been trying to outlaw dry wells for the last 20 years.
Right.
They never will, because a lot of these cities cannot afford to go into a centralized storm system.
Right.
So it's all bogus. They're just trying to blow smoke.
Actually, what we've done in county code, we don't allow dry wells anymore. And we've done that for quite a while. In fact, when Lapine was still in the county, when we were doing land use and subdivisions and stuff, we quit requiring curbs.
what we did is we said all storm drainage has to be handled by swales because dry wells just weren't going to work. So county code doesn't allow dry wells in the county.
Do you have enforcement procedures? A lot of people will see a swale out in front of their place and they'll fill it in. So do you have enforcement procedures to, if someone fills in their swale to...
We had one in Terrebonne where the guy filled it in so he could park his RV there, and we went up and told him. Actually, those were county maintained roads, so we went in and we dug the ditch and told him you'll get a code enforcement issue slapped on you if you fill it in. So yeah, we've dealt with that too.
Because I would think that'd be a big issue.
Yep.
Would be people see this big hump and they go, you know, why do I have this big hump out there? That could be part of my front yard.
Actually, Lapine works pretty well for swales. I thought we would have problems when the ground freezes, but we have really haven't. It soaks in pretty well here. Okay. I'll show you on this. If you look, Lapine.
Yeah, is that the subdivisions you're talking behind Morrison to the west? On the thing, it's got lots of little lots.
Yep.
Is there any actual houses out here?
Or
is
no.
If you look,
there is.
Your city limits actually are Pangra, up to Hale. Where the storm drain system starts about right here, comes up the fourth and then goes out, and this is basically where that kind of ring is, or bank, and then this is all that wetlands out there, but that's all platted lots within the city. So I can't just go out there and dump water out there because I'm actually dumping water.
It is what would happen. I mean, if you guy purchased a little piece of property somewhere here and you ended up with a couple of these, and you can...
Well, we've got to kind of address the issue of our pipe draining out there. What I was thinking of doing on that is it drains out into a 60-foot right-of-way. So if I can go, and I think you've seen on road construction projects, they call them wattles. They're just a tube about that big around. They've got straw. They're used for erosion control. And what I was thinking of doing, and I've got to run this by DEQ, is at the end of that pipe, you kind of make a detention pond for that water, and so the water will come in there, the sediment will settle out, it'll go up, rise up over that, and then go out into the wetlands. But I've got to run that by DSL yet. So there's a way that I think we can utilize that storm drain pipe. I got to run it up the flagpole.
Well, I know in Canby there, before I left, when any new subdivision come in, we required that that subdivision create a retention pond for the stormwater on their subdivision at their cost, and then we maintained it.
Yeah. We it was all the jurisdictions, Ben, Redmond, Sisters, Madras, Kirk County, we all got together, and we've come up with the Central Oregon Stormwater Manual now, which is a one document that dictates how you handle storm drainage in the county. And we couldn't get DEQ to, you know, say, yeah, you know, you do what's in this book, we'll approve everything, but we got a kind of approval from them. If you follow the book, you're probably gonna be okay, type thing.
They'll tell you what you can't do, but they don't tell you what you can do.
Exactly. And so we do have that manual. They were on board the whole time that we did the creation of it, and that's what we're using. And yeah, you're exactly right. It's required. And county code actually says private properties, water has to stay on their site. Public right of way, water has to stay on the right of way. So I can't dump my water onto someone else's property, which is where I get into the issue on 4th Street.
Basically, in Newton, what I see happening around is now very few. You're not piping water off in a big public system anymore. You're putting it on the property. Everyone takes care of their own water. So the idea of a comprehensive city storm drain plan, you have to deal with what's existing, and that's what you're struggling with now. When ODOT comes through and we redo the road here with the in our corridor plan that was just approved, George and I were working on that. We're basically going to lose that one lane. You know, it's got two lanes through here, and we'll have all that out here one of these days. But you've got two lanes, you've got four lanes, call it a five lane with the center turn lane. That's going to go down to a three, just like Chabot and the rest of these places on 97, Terrebonne. That extra lane will then scoot over, you'll end up with a swale, because that's how you will get your water thing. And because what they argue is, and it's been thought through pretty good, is that it really doesn't go anywhere. It's what it is it's a a kind of a passing lane in the middle of your town, because it's only 3 blocks long. And it stops before you get down to the ODOT building, and then, you know, it's striped right here as a turn into here, and so you got people racing, and in the middle of it, you're a school crossing. I mean, you're coming in 2 lanes from all directions, both ends of town are 2 lanes, and then in the middle you pick up this extra lane, and it doesn't actually move traffic quicker. So anyway, that's in the plan, and you will get the swales. Now over in your subdivision, Ed, they have filled in a bunch of those.
Swales?
Yeah. Between
above
the sidewalks,
right,
and the street.
The ditches.
Is yours?
Yes. I filled mine in.
Yeah. And so what you'll find in his subdivision, when you guys are driving around, you go back to Huntington Meadows and you go down these streets we've been looking at there, and you'll find the road. The swales were built. They were part of the approved plan that the county approved, and that's where water goes. The subdivision wasn't designed for that to be additional off-street parking for the camper or the RV. Again, you cringe, but you know, you have plans, you have rules, you have planning things, and they say this is what we're building, this is what we're designing. Well, then the developer leaves, the public moves in, and what you'll find is a checkerboard of one ditch that's open, the next guy's filled it in with gravel, one puts a car over the top of it, one puts a trailer over the top of it, then there's two that are open, and then throw in 3 basketball courts.
Well, who's responsible for maintaining those? Is that the county?
Well, if it's a county established road,
those are your ones.
But the county does nothing, essentially, because they get deeper and deeper and deeper, and pretty soon the sidewalks are falling down, breaking loose.
A lot of times on the local roads, we need to have calls from residents to let us know.
Yeah, well, I've heard from our committee that we get no response from the county. They call in constantly about road maintenance and.
Because I'm going to call on it. Yeah, give me a call.
So that's, you know, there's an issue over there where you've got that hodgepodge.
Yeah. But, you know, a good example of a swale was when we did the first in Huntington signal. We built a swale on the, the county owned that lot where the fire department is. And before we sold it to them, we reserved that easement and dug a swale. And I think we got rid of either 1 or 2 dry wells that are piped into that.
I just wanted to ask about Wheeler Ranch. Now those are all county roads in there, and there, when they were built, they were all those swales that are in there are filled in with rock. Was that not right?
No, that was one that he came up with an agreement with someone in the county that he could. The reason he put that big rock in there is they'll still technically function as swales.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's not dirt. I wasn't really in favor of that.
So there's a classification of what you can fill in with?
No.
Say river rock?
You know, the problem you get if you put river rock in there is going to go all over your streets. Yeah. Kids like to throw it.
But you have about a 40% void ratio with that heavy rocks. So.
What you're saying, it takes up space that would hold water.
Yeah, about 40% of the spaces would hold water.
Yeah, it does. It you know, I mean, your swales aren't doing what they
do. You have much drainage problem? Is it working pretty good over there?
Except for the snow piling up, but no, there's no really water drainage problem.
Soil here in Lapine is pretty good for drainage.
Don, in your subdivision, Don Granger, do you have storm drains? How do you guys handle your water in Crescent Creek?
They just go on the swale right next to the street.
Yeah. It's just kind of on the edges, and
there's water all over out there. Along the edge of the streets.
Does it drain off pretty good? It's not bugging the road?
Oh, yeah, it drains pretty well. Big problem is that the cracks in the roads went from about a quarter inch to now almost an inch.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think. A couple inches now.
Yeah, that subdivision does have a unique crack seal at Crescent Creek. Because the roads are good other than the cracks. Yeah. And they kind of run the full width. Well, Mr. Chairman, if that's, we move on, there's just to close up and wrap up, but we've got some things to talk about next time and learn. And did people learn some things today about roads?
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank the county and George for coming down, and we'll probably use you some more. This is a whole new thing. You were here for the first meeting, so,
cool.
We've got a lot to learn here. We don't have a big staff, to work on things, so yeah, we have to depend on folks.
Yep. Is your phone number on the document somewhere?
I was hoping to have a card with me, but I think I used them all up. I will. Oh, Rick's got my contact information. Yeah.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll email Rick the contact information for that abatement management system company, and then I'll also get a map showing all locals, collectors, and arterials south of Spring River Road. And I can probably just send that to you, send that to you.
PDF. Then we can send it out so you can look at it and blow it up on your own computers at home. Also, these maps that we got up here, they have, I can PDF those out to you so you can have them home and look at them when you're looking at things. To kind of give you the browns, the greens, and so when your neighbor asks you, is that a city street or county street, you run your computer, literally blow it up, and you can give the answer.
Well, just one request. I mean, you're talking about some of these subdivisions with their names. I have no idea. Because like you said, Huntington Meadows. Now, where's that?
Yeah. Right. So, what we can do is we'll take the big map he gave us, and then we'll take our label maker and start, and we'll put the subdivision names on there.
Let me look and see if you can. I'll see if we can do that through our GIS. If you can do that, he's pretty good.
How many subdivision names, like white?
Cindy, yeah, we've always had. We need as much. We
have ranch. Yeah. There's probably only four or five.
Some of them get.
But it's good to know. Roy's right. It's good to know.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
There.
That's good. Thanks.
let me see if I can come up with a map.
The guys in the city, Roy, understand this. This guy's out in the rural area. We don't.
I know we're so far out. And I got one more request, George.
Sure.
I mean, do we have a code enforcement officer in Deschutes County?
Yes.
And if we do, driving into LaPine, can you do anything about that big damn eyesore down there on the left coming in, that guy that does the wood?
With the police car.
Private property.
If it's private property.
This would be, I'm proud to hand this duty off to my successor, and he this is his stuff, he knows it.
Yeah, you would want to talk to, there's probably two jurisdictions involved, because it's the highway, so it's ODOT right-of-way, so if anything is in the right-of-way, it would be ODOT. Anything on private property would be, I would say, well,
George, you want to talk, he'll be able to handle it.
It would be a zoning.
Okay. Yes, Ken.
One comment I'd like to make about that, I approached somebody about it, I think it was Gary Bonsworth, but I've seen many times these motorhomes pull up there, and there's about this much distance between the street, I mean the car's going by, it looks to me like it's in the right-of-way. I mean, there's the pavement right here, and here's his stuff.
20 feet off or so.
Not even that. I mean, it's just.
I'm sure he's out.
It's
right
within a car. You get the car sitting there, and you're setting up next to the stuff he's carved and setting there, and then you're sitting right next to the highway. It is a disaster going to happen.
Yep.
And it has to be. I mean, if the state has this much jurisdiction, or the federal people have this much jurisdiction over right-of-way, that's got to be in the right-of-way. Yeah. There's got to be some kind of 6 foot, 10 foot, 15 feet from the edge of the pavement or whatever. Sure it's just dangerous to me.
Yeah, I don't know what they have for right-of-way through there, but you'd have, you know, on the private property would be code enforcement, community development department, and then the highway would be pulled up right-of-way.
So who handles that?
Mr. President?
Yes.
The Planning Commission is very well aware of the problems with those two pieces of property, the woodlot and the so-called wonderful flea market. And they are in violation of the codes that have been passed by the Planning Commission and approved by the City Council. But we can't do anything about it until we get to that July point where we assume full control and we hire a code enforcement officer. That's all in the works, but it's down the road.
and it will get done, but it's going to take a lot more time than most people think. Mm-hmm. Because you just can't go in there and say, well, you got to tear all these buildings down tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. But we are aware of it, and it can be fixed, but it's going to take some time.
So it's not something that we need to address in this committee at all, so mm-hmm. we should probably just move on to the next.
It's not an age for this committee to be worried about at all.
No, I don't want to worry about it. I'm just tired of looking at it.
Well, boy, it's a mess.
George, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Would it be possible for, I see this map, and this is a very nice map that your GIS person, I assume, constructed for the city, and it shows what is county, and it shows what is city, and I assume that the remainder then is private. Would there be a way to qualify with some degree of certainty what is private, what is not your obligation, what is not our obligation? And what I'd want to do is probably publish something in the newspaper that advises that in the city's viewpoint, these certain roads are private roads. They're not something that we maintain or enforce or have any authorities over, just so as to set a stage for what's ours, what's ours. Because if we don't do that, then it's going to be ambiguous. Someone's going to say, well, you need to take care of it, and unless we have some way to say, well, we don't have the authorities to take care of it. My other issue is risk management, and that is, if we go on the private lands because it's of uncertainty and do something there and cause some accident or injury, then we have a claim against the city not only for trespass, but also for takings.
Yeah, that would be.
And I just assume not get us in that kind of position.
Okay. Yeah, really, the only roads that I know of that are private is like Walling, Anchor, Telegraph, Shields, Evergreen, Willow, and Atlanta.
I see a lot more roads on here than those.
He's looking at lines. Maybe those aren't roads necessarily.
Those are lot lines, probably.
Like, for instance, all these things up here, are these private?
These are all private.
Okay.
Those are private. Anything with that isn't...
basic color or something. Yeah.
Now I'd like to have, well, can we put a color on there that says private?
Well, it would just be other.
Well, I'd like it to be more certain and say private.
What will happen on those roads when, I assume when the city takes over the water and sewer districts, they take over the right-of-ways that they have as well, or the easements,
private. Yeah, your easements are within the right-of-way, correct?
Yeah, like Telegraph between the water easement and the sewer easement has the entire channel.
Anything that's...
Oh.
So does that then become...
here where you're in the wetlands?
Mm-hmm. But they're a utility easement, they're not a road easement.
There's no roads out there.
So are they private?
Those are different.
So those will become city easements, but
they're public right-of-ways.
Okay,
no one can ever put off with certain
public right-of-ways.
That doesn't bind us.
But I don't think it's discern public right-of-ways.
I wouldn't think so.
Can that be added as a GIS component?
The only thing I'm concerned about is...
Is that all the questions you had, Sky? Because I saw you had your hands raised a while.
That was my question before.
Okay.
I'd rather have a busy map than an ambiguous map.
We know.
Okay. And that's it. I'd just rather...
Rick, are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
And to other matters, was there anything that...
No, just on the idea, you may think about this for a future. You know, we wanted to publicize maybe in the paper, these are county roads, these are city streets, and these tend to be private. We could put a story. Have a meeting. Say, come on before this, and let people come up and say, wait, now how did I end up private? We could, you know, so that you educate people as to what they are.
Yeah.
We could have like an open house type thing where, and then if someone says, okay, I'm out on this street, and, you know, looks like this is a city jurisdiction, and I feel this is what's wrong with my road. You know, the public doesn't know which road. And so maybe between what you're talking about and then have a session.
I agree with that. It's just we need to communicate with our constituency. But we sure don't want to stroll where we don't belong either.
I agree. Okay. Well, we can't afford it. On other matters, is there anything else that you guys would like to see on a know, it's your whatever on another agenda, or you can also do it in the committee comments, or is there something else? I know we've got two or three things for next time. And then the other thing I think we'll do is we'll probably do some, maybe like we did with this, we'll do sewer and water, because we'll be into April. As to, we'll be further down the road, we'll know kind of how that's all going, because that's going to be a lot of issues with this whole sewer.
I would have been here last night, but I didn't get home until about 6:15. And by then, I thought dinner was more important than the meeting for me. So.
You should have come to Moose. I was cooking.
Good. Go ahead, Ken.
One last comment. We're gearing up. We'll be gearing up very shortly here to clean up the streets of the Pine, and it's something that I see us doing as a volunteer group, the Friends of La Pine. We did it last year. One of the areas that we found was all of this gravel for years has been, and George, I was going to ask you, maybe we go out and take a look at this, but gets piled up from the 97
snow plows
and gets thrown up on the median between the street and the sidewalk. And I'd like to see where that falls, to get the county support to come down and dig that stuff out, put it out in the street.
You're talking on Highway 97?
Highway 97.
Yeah, that you want to talk to
ODOT.
Yeah, DEQ. We really couldn't have our crews working on the highway right away.
Right. Yeah. DEQ in the past has said you got to get rid of that because it becomes a dust abatement issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just ugly as hell.
Anyway. I understand.
So,
Mr. Mayor, but the DEQ says that after each event, like a snow event, technically speaking, that needs to be gotten rid of.
ODOT then.
Yeah, and because of 97, that becomes kind of an ODOT issue to see if they'll work with us on that. Because that's their road. They probably spread most of that.
Well, I brought it up only because we had to deal with it last year. And I did go to Tim at ODOT station down here. I forgot his last name. And ask him, if we put it out in the street, would he sweep it up? Because we had a full crew going up and down 97. Mm-hmm. He said he would. So, but I think that's something that the Public Works Committee ought to deal with, because we need to clean it up.
Yeah, the one issue you got to be careful of is when you're working within the right of way of ODOT. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a liability. You got to really deal with them.
Right.
Yeah.
George, what we did in Canby, which you guys don't care about, but we had a state highway coming right through the middle of Canby, and we contracted with ODOT, and we swept the street, 99, the state highway, and charged the state. Mm-hmm. We swept it every Friday and charged them, and they had no problem with that.
Yeah. We, in fact, the county, we don't have, we've got sweepers, but we don't have vac trucks, and that's really what you need when you've got a curb is a vac truck that'll basically vacuums it up, and we'll do that with the city of Bend sometimes on streets where we've got curbs.
Is that the responsibility of the homeowner, the business owner, to clean the sidewalks?
I think it is.
I walk with my wife, and you've probably seen me with a radio flyer, a red wagon. We carry our little Shih Tzu, and then we walk 97 quite a bit. Places around like McDonald's, in front of Ray's. Ray's has rocks as big as your fist. Yep. They've never been cleaned in years. We find ourselves walking out into the street because we can't get through on the sidewaks. Mr. Mayor, that's what I think you were talking about too. It's a disgrace. You can't walk the sidewalks up Lapine.
But that becomes an issue of ODOT right away in the city of Lapine and how you're going to work with them. You can't just arbitrarily, like George says, go out there and clean that, because it becomes a liability issue with ODOT.
Yeah, anytime anybody works in a county right of way, you have to have a permit from them to work in the public right of way. The L word, liability, always pops up everywhere.
Hmm. That's something we can look at down the road.
I think it's an issue that we need to deal with. You know,
I can tell you that ODOT, if it's up on the sidewalk, they're probably going to tell us either the homeowner or the city's going to go do it. I don't know that ODOT's going to come up on the sidewalks and
even though that's their right of way, they probably won't. But the business owners, and it's probably going to be a city enforcement thing of having them put it back out in the street, and then whoever's going to be cleaning that up take care of it.
Well, I have a hard time dealing with the idea that they put it down there. You know, their gravel trucks come through town and put it down there.
It's all on the sidewalk.
And they ought to have some way of
cleaning it up.
To clean it up.
May I recommend that we have someone from ODOT at the next meeting?
Okay, Patty, make note of that.
And I think we're starting to run short on time, so.
George, would you know, have anybody the person we contact?
You've got the maintenance shop.
That's who you've got the maintenance shop right down there in the corner. You can talk to them.
Do we need to set a time for the next meeting?
Well, we were going to be, it was always going to be the second Thursday, so it'd be the same at 10 o'clock if that works.
Great. So you're saying April 13th?
If that's the time, calendar sitting here.
Yeah, and I will be out of town on that.
Okay.
Should be April 12th.
Most of the committee, most boards, and you mean, and they are.
Oh, Thursday, yeah.
April 12th.
You can't start moving them around because you've got too many people. So it's it would be Thursday on the 12th at 10 a.m.
Good.
So our vice chair will have to run things.
That works for me.
So then what you do normally, Mr. Chair, is we're running pretty free. You would ask if there's any public comments. Say we sometimes may have citizens here. Another thing is that in the future, I'll actually put that at the beginning so they don't have to sit here through all of it.
Probably a good idea. Yeah.
And Patty, make sure we do that next time.
So are there any public comments from Don? Okay.
We can, if it's like, depending on the meeting, we could do more of a table setup and sit around the table. You put your papers out and you kind of sit across from each other. You know, the Planning Commission sits like this. We have some that we do, you know, obviously we have a hearing or people are coming in with a bunch of testimony. The table system doesn't work. But if you know, it takes a pretty big table to get everybody.
I think this works well.
You think, are you okay?
This is fine with me.
Yeah, fine with me.
Yeah, I like it this way. Okay. I had a question mark at the beginning.
Sure.
But no, I think it worked out fine today.
Well, it's easy to see the screen. It also lets you maintain control a little better. Right. It's hard to get everyone to the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be my only.
Do we need a motion to adjourn, or?
You might ask if there's any questions of me. This under your committee, you always, before you leave, just to see if there's anything that they've got that they felt they want to add. Or
anybody have anything to add for the good of the order? Or?
No. I make a motion we adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Great first meeting. 2 hours. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you, George.
It is nice to enjoy it.
You tell Patty where to put the noise in here at the meeting.